This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Now, helmets on, kiddos. Good afternoon. All this week, we're highlighting children's road safety with a specific focus on the importance of kids' helmets. In fact, you can sponsor one today for just 50 ringgit over at bfm.my/helmets. We are running a poll on both Instagram and on Twitter. Our Twitter poll is steady at, Jeff, what is it at?
Yeah, so still 56%. More people have voted in, but it's still there. About 60% are saying they rarely see a child on a motorcycle wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm. That's not really changed much either over on Insta story. Any more tweets we'd like to highlight?
There's a couple. So one says that some parents don't even wear helmets. So I guess, you know, setting the example, right? So if you're a parent, you should be then, you know, leading by example. Yep. So if you, you know, if even if you just take a short ride down to the park, if you keep reminding, oops, I got to wear my helmet, your kid will follow on, you know, as they grow up, right? Mm. They will notice that, you know, my mom and dad did this, so, you know, I got to do this as well. So parents got to set the example as well. There's another one says, at that's my full name, says, I've seen a helmetless woman riding in a bike in Damansara, somewhere in Damansara, one hand on the steering bike, one hand cradling a baby. So that's an accident waiting to happen. So yeah, dangerous behaviors that we have on the road.
I mean, when I was learning to ride a motorcycle, my teacher just gave me this one little phrase. It was ATG, ATT, all the gear, all the time.
Mm.
Simple as that. You know, it was like, even if you're just going down to the shop, you put on your proper shoes, you put on your gloves. And I know it's hot, and I know it's irritating, and I know you're only going out for 5 minutes, but these differences really do make a huge difference, you know. Yeah. Over to WhatsApp.
One comment from a friend on Instagram said, quite often, but only on the main road, you know, so that's the thing. And I don't know whether it's the right kind. So on WhatsApp, we have here child helmets. This is 5763. We need to settle the adults' education awareness first. Within 10 minutes of tuning into this talk, I already saw two different adults without helmets on their motorcycles, plus one parent with two kids without helmets sending them to school. So, you know, even as well. Rosalind Ho says, so often parents are biking around with 2 to 3 kids to school, kids no helmet. I find the adult carrying child or children heavily, putting the children very, very high risk. Helmets not investment, it's a necessity. Education and enforcement. There's that word again, enforcement.
Yeah.
Benji says, if there is no demand, then government can do something about it via legislation. Subsidies, child helmets is problematic as they'll need to keep buying as the kids grow. Hand-me-downs is an idea, but ideally once a helmet is dropped on the floor, it shouldn't be reused. Akin to broken seal, not encouraged to use. Wisely Tay here says, the authorities should monitor the type of helmets sold in the marketplace. There are many riders there, especially those on Kapchai. They're wearing a very thin type of helmet, but that has no cushion, just for the sake of avoiding the authorities. So funny thing, it's serum approved. It wouldn't be a show without Maggie Best. So kids wearing safety helmets, much better than 2 years ago, but still not often enough. In fact, I wonder if the law allows babies carried in their mother's arms or young children riding pillion in between two adults, regardless with or without helmets. And if young children are allowed to pillion ride, at what age are they allowed? Little hands clutching onto the rider's shirt because they can't reach around for a better hold is still dangerous, helmet or no helmet.
You see, and that's the thing, that when I first moved to Asia and I first saw that, you know, children on the back of a motorcycle, my mind was blown. You just will not see that in Europe at all. You won't see it in the States. You won't see it anywhere else. It only seems to be in Asia that it's a thing. And we know why. It's the cost of living. It's people riding around on Kapchais. I understand it. You know, people need to get around. They need to get their family around to school and whatever. It's just so dangerous, though. Okay, next story. Let's move on. But don't forget bfm.my/helmets if you'd like to donate just 50 ringgit to help save a child. Okay, Frida.
Yeah, this study was published in April in the 5th International Conference on Internet Science from the Atlanta Journal. This is a endearing and yet kind of sad story. Can a Siri-like chatbot help lonely seniors? So this is a computing scientist, Osmar Zayen, from Canada's Alberta Machine Intelligence Institute. He envisions a device that's emotionally intelligent where an elderly person can say, I'm tired, or it's beautiful outside, or tell a story about their day and receive a response that carries on the conversation and keeps them engaged. engaged. We've seen that in movies. So Zion and his colleagues have created an AI model able to express responses with emotions, though some emotions such as surprise and love were easier to express compared to others. So once the technology is able to understand and match an expressed emotion by converting speech to text, the next step is to teach the program to independently decide on what emotion expressed depending on the persona it's talking to. So loneliness among Canada's elderly has been called a public health crisis. According to Statistics Canada, as many as 1.4 million elderly Canadians report being lonely, a condition that commonly leads to depression and overall deterioration in health. So loneliness, also a major issue in America, where more than one-third of older adults report feeling lonely. The AARP Foundation noted in its 2018 survey, companionship, like a cat, a dog, other people, helps tremendously. But the advantage for caregivers of a digital companion like this is they can also collect information on the emotional state of the person, noting if they're frequently feeling sad, for example. Yeah, you know.
So when I was in China recently, the one thing that I noticed was just how acceptive they are of these kind of robots being in your, you know, the space of your personal space, right? So your home and your office and stuff. So and these robots, these personal robots, they really do communicate to you. Mm. When you enter your home and you get back from a long day at work, it really asks you, like, you know, hi Frida, how was your day? And you know, and then you talk to it just like a regular person, but it looks like a robot. Right. It looks like one of the maid from the Jetsons. What is it called? What's the maid called from?
Can't remember name.
Before my time, yeah. I don't know.
So, you know, it looks exactly like what you would think a robot would look like, right? So it looks like that. It's just got wheels at the bottom and it moves around. It does basic stuff like cleaning in your house, or like vacuuming and stuff. But it also, it's a companion that you can talk to. You can tell it to set, you know, different kinds of temperature in your room if you have like a smart monitoring, you know, air conditioning and stuff like that. So it does communicate with you at least on the surface level. In Japan, it's a big issue, right? So loneliness, you know, adults who, because they are like average age is like one of the highest in the world. So, you know, and they've resorted to, you know, virtual reality companionship as well. They've resorted to, you know, these kind of robots to become a companion because, you know, dogs and cats are also great companions, but cost could be also an issue, you know, with raising you know, dogs and cats, right? And also the mobility, you know, if you have a pet like a dog, you got to be able to, you know, take it out for walks and stuff. So if you're an elderly person, it may be difficult for you to, you know, have to ensure that your pet has a good life. So the best way to do that is to, you know, find like a virtual companion, like a digital companion. So whether it's a robot or, you know, like something in the VR space.
So like, you know, in the Western world, right? A lot of people, like your mum even, right? They love the sense of independence, right? Yep. They don't like staying with the kids or and I guess it's also not sort of culturally the sort of thing, right? In Asia, we're still somewhat okay. I see it changing though. I see that happening though. And it's sad that we need these sort of things, right? To address these issues.
I think it's a nice idea though. You know, the idea of something that can actually look at your emotion and then choose to give you an answer that, you know, it ties in with the emotions that you have. I think just the fact that it can reflect, I think, is great. Stuff like Siri, as we know, it just has that kind of one-track answer. It doesn't have any emotion attached to it or whatever. Just, I mean, like you say, Frida, when I think about this and I think about my mum and, you know, we've thought about getting her a cat and doing all of that kind of stuff. And we worry that maybe she's at that age where she might not look after the cat properly and, you know, the cost of taking a cat to the vets if something were to happen, if she were to go away somewhere, where would she put the cat? And all of these things that you have to think about. You know, but something like this, when you know that she's going out of the door and somebody can just switch the thing off until she comes back. Mm. And then when she comes back, it's charged.
Or leave it on. Have you brought your brolly?
Yeah, have you brought your brolly? You know, I love the idea of it. It just makes me wonder whether or not we still have that divide for people who are of that age and just will not kind of accept this kind of tech. You know, they just don't, some of them just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Places like Japan, where tech is a little bit more involved in people's lives, I understand, you know. But for my mum, she
culture.
Has trouble. It's a cultural thing. So she has trouble turning on the TV.
It's definitely a good thing, but I'm just envisioning my life down the road. Is this the kind of thing that I'll be having this conversation, you know, staring at the wall?
And right.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, yeah. That's just a, it's a, it is probably good, but at the same time, it's a sad state of affairs of what the future holds.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I can even speak to my phone, Jeff, and you have the same thing, where in a morning I will say, hey, whatever, and ask it about my day, and it will pop up and it will say, okay, your commute to work is this, this is the news stories, this is how hot it is outside. And just for those 2 minutes of it talking to me, you get that little bit of a, oh.
So I haven't gotten to do that yet.
Yeah, there you go. Time for a short break, ladies and gents. Music coming up next from the International Noise Conspiracy with New Empire Blues. We come back, final story of the day, how AI tech is changing dubbing. Don't forget, we're talking about how often you see a child on a motorcycle wear a helmet. Take part in the polls, please. We'd like to get some numbers for this. Over on Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. Or on Insta Story, we're at BFM Radio. And if you want to comment, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.